Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free. Okay, free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail pro. Show. They got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we rise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, you think this shit won't be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free. Okay, free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, shit, that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police departments to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
Peace be unto you, my beloved brothers and sisters. Sounds like throwdown time to me. But you say, Brother Eli, that's that throwdown talk I deal with tonight. First of all, I want to give honor and respect to our Creator, revealed to all and known by many names, which is the source of our power and victory in any encounter, in any battle, in any struggle. I want to give thanks to our ancestors, our positive ancestors, who are legion. For if it were not for them, we would not be here to continue this fight that has been going on for so long with the devils of this planet, the demons of this planet. And in honor of them, especially those who put their life on the line
those who actually gave their lives for this cause throughout the years. I would say in the words of the last poet, blessed are those who struggle. Oppression is worse than the grave. It is better to live and die for a noble cause than to live and die a slave. So it is in their honor that I submit this tonight. I want to thank the brothers and sisters from Reality Speaks. I like that. Reality Speaks, because we seem to have a difficult time dealing with reality today in the world. Back off time, I want to run away from reality. Seems like we want to laugh and play our way through this thing. And as Dr. Clark has once said, that great grand scholar of scholars, we either have to put race first and take our survival and liberation seriously, or we will cease to exist as a race. We will go out of business as a race. So we can't laugh and play this thing all the time. Now, I like to laugh and play just like anybody else. I like to have some fun. But you can't play all the time. There is the business, the very serious business of life. And so I like that Reality Speaks. And we have to stand still and listen to reality and not be overwhelmed by reality. To know that there is a power in the universe that created us first to represent it on this planet, and therefore that power, when we reconnect with it, can enable us to deal with any reality that we find ourselves confronted with. So if we no longer fear reality but face reality, we will be victorious in reality. And not only be survivors, but once again obtain power. So I want to thank Brother Jabari, who has called me 1,000 times on this. Brother Universal, the referee tonight. Sister Tekoa, and is it Sister Malika? I want to thank all of you, all of the brothers and sisters who participated in this, helped them bring this about. You know, you may not realize what it takes to put on a program like this. You may not realize what kind of sacrifices people have to make. So they have to be really dedicated, young men and women like this, who could be out jamming and partying tonight, decided to give their time and their resources so that this information can come to you. And I think they're worthy of your applause tonight. I know they are worthy of your support in every way. Tonight, before we get into our topic, I need to mention to you, usually I have to do what I call a black nationalist commercial, because we're not brought to you by any of the rich niggas on the planet. They don't invest in these guys. We're certainly not brought to you by any rich white folks. They don't want to be, because we don't want to be owned by anyone. We're brought to you by the auspices of the work and dedication and commitment we have as warrior scholars to this, through the works we produce in writing and through our lectures and in other things. And it is only through your participation in that process, in short, bringing it right down front, it's only when you buy what we produce that we're able to continue to produce it. So I know so many of you here have brought my tapes and books. I know today whatever weight I have in poundage is responsible for the beans you have put in the pot. And I thank you very much, and my family thanks you. And I ask you to continue to do that. And so I brought with me, I don't have any books, but I do have tapes tonight. And I hope that you will visit the table. And I do have my special signing pen, my blessed signing pen, that is ready to sign your tapes for you. So I invite you to do that. Much of what I want to cover tonight on this topic of the holidays, several of the holidays I will not be able to go into in detail, but I do go into them on the tape. So I'll be looking to meet with you there at the end of this lecture at the table. Thank you for your patience in this matter and for your support. Now let's get on with, let me get my eyes out here now, and let's get on with our discussion for tonight, which is holidays from the perspective of an African-centered reality. Now, I don't know just exactly how I'm going to approach this subject tonight, because you know I'm part teacher, part preacher, part brother from the street. So I don't know how it's going to come out. But we're going to let the spirit and the ancestors move with us. Is that all right with you?
Yes, right. We're going to bring the microphone closer.
And I want to share with you as much information as I can in the period of time we have together. Now, we're talking about holidays from the perspective of an African-centered reality. This subject I have discussed so often, I have gotten tired of talking about it. But obviously, there's still a need to discuss it. Just like people are still overwhelmed by the idea that Jesus was a black man. I thought we had settled this 30 years ago. But it's still a fantastic thing today. In fact, my book I'm working on now is The Real Jesus Was a Black Man. And I thought we had settled it. I thought everybody knew that. But then I also have some other information I'm putting in there that I will discuss as we go on. But we're talking about this, and it's difficult because, as Brother Jabari said, folks think you're trying to take their pleasure away from them. You're taking my fun away from them. Y'all are just, killjoys. You want to take everything. What we going to have if we don't give these white folks this money? Or Miss Giffen and Exman, what we going to do if we don't buy these clothes on Easter? Jesus going to be man with us. It's the wonderful, good feeling you get from it. Brother Jabari used the example. You can get a good feeling from crack. Hey, no crack at it. That's why they do it. It make them feel good. But what does it do to their life? You can get a good feeling from a prostitute. Will you take all your money you got and give it to her for one night? And that's it. You ain't got nothing else. And that's what you do on these holidays when you give white folks money you ain't even got. Money you haven't even received yet for a good feeling. You're doing the same thing as a junkie or somebody out in the street tricking with a prostitute. It's the same. I know you don't like to hear that, but you see these gray hairs, I don't care no more. I'm not trying to get along with you anymore. I love you. I want you to love me. I want you to be my friend. I want to be your friend. I'd like to be popular with every black person in the world, but I have found in these 58 years that just ain't possible. So I don't care. But I love, and I have to speak what is called that tough love tonight. So you may get angry with me. I might not sell no tapes, baby. You got gas money for tonight? We're going to talk about holidays from an African-centered perspective. I look at everything from an African-centered perspective, and I'm getting tired of this dumbass question, why everything got to be black? Boy, when you look in the mirror, Negro, what else can it be for you? For white folks, it's very clear. Everything got to be white.
Right.
Even for black folks, red folks, yellow folks, and everybody else. We're the only fools in the world that ask such a question. Why everything got to be black? Well, look at yourself in the mirror and you'll find out why. And if that don't convince you, if you don't convince yourself that you look like Tom Selleck or somebody, because we can't do that, you know. Be looking so black and pretty, but think we're looking like something Clark Gable or somebody. And if that don't convince you, just the world of reality that you step into when you step out your door. Even with your big-time job and everything, with the glass ceiling and all. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yeah.
Those realities... Bring it right down front. Why it got to be black? Has to be black. So I don't just stop at black. African-centered. Everything I look at from an African-centered perspective, which done messed up everything for me. I can't enjoy a movie. My wife don't even like to go to movies with me anymore. We can't watch television anymore.
For real. For real.
Thank God for the midnight hour. At least we still got that.
Yeah.
You can't enjoy nothing when you have that consciousness because you see exactly what's going on. Everybody else sitting around there. And that's, we are the only people I know where you can get to laugh at their own insults. You be insulting the hell out of them, they be laughing at them. Well, that's all they're for. It ain't nothing but a joke. No, life is not a joke. Survival is not a joke. But let me stop now because I know I'm being too serious for you. Historical reality is what we're talking about. That's what we're going to discuss in these holidays. I am not talking about belief. I don't care about belief. I don't care what you believe. Your belief means nothing to me. Your belief holds no weight with me. I may respect it and your right to believe it, but it is nothing that we can debate. It is a personal, sentimental feeling. It cannot be debated. There is no true religion because you cannot debate it scientifically and logically. It is a matter of what one chooses to believe. Now that's one of the things you need to get up off of and start fighting each other. Stop fighting each other over that.
Teach.
There is the Creator who is not confused, but we are confused in all these man-made. I said, what? Man-made religions. Every one of them made by man. Every one of them. But you tell me it came from God out of heaven, this prophet, this God, this, that. Do you know how much blood was shed to make it as an established religion? I know you don't like to hear this, but we are dealing. I'm asking you not to deal emotionally, but to use your brain tonight. Don't run from your brain. It's the best thing you got. You got 10 to 20 billion brain cells, the greatest gift you have ever been given of any other creature on this earth. Don't run from it. And you will not offend God by using it. And yes, question God. He knows everything. And he ain't on no ego trip. You say God can't be questioned because you don't want to be questioned. Your ego can't stand up under question. But the creator of the universe, man, ask all the questions you think you need to ask. You give y'all all right?
Yes, sir.
Let me get back to the subject now. I'm going to get bold. I'm not just going to take all five. If time permits, I'm going to take all six European holidays. As we call it in the African, some Yagomi. We're going to do. We're going to talk about Columbus Day, an orgy of death and destruction. Halloween, the original night of the living dead. Misgiving Day, a celebration of horrors. Xmas, the merry mess. Easter, the festival of fools. And America's Independence Day, the 4th of July. See if time will permit us this discussion tonight. There's five basic points I want to deal with, and I want you to remember before we get into the actual discussion of the holidays themselves. Now, y'all might have to let me know about the time, like my mentor and teacher, Dr. Ben. I don't have time to watch. So you'll have to let me know. First of all, to celebrate holidays is very common for human beings. It's good to celebrate. As a matter of fact, as I study our history, which is my favorite thing to do, I find that in our great high culture science societies that achieved and accomplished more than any society has ever achieved or are achieving on planet Earth today in harmony with the Creator and humanity, that we spent one-third of the year working and two-thirds of the year celebrating. That's why we like to party so much now, but it's out of context. You don't own nothing, you don't control nothing. So you can't party as much as you used to. But we want to party all the time. But we love to celebrate. So if you try to take that from African people, you kill them. Because we celebrate. And it's good to celebrate. But there's one thing I noticed about this. There's one thing that concerns me about this. At no time in the history of the world do I remember any people celebrating their own destruction but my people. I don't know anybody else who does this. That celebrates their own destruction. People don't celebrate the wars they lost, they celebrate the wars they won. Number two, the celebration of holidays establishes and helps to maintain a strong emotional, a what?
Emotional
and cultural bond between you and that which you are celebrating. And I mean, we're emotionally involved in it. It makes you feel so good. And it becomes something that you can't live without anymore because you're emotionally attached to it, like your soulmate. That bond becomes strong and you can't live without that force anymore. And that's how it is with holidays. So what you're celebrating has to be something that is good and to your best good, or you'll be in bondage to something that is working against you. Third point, one of the main dangers of European holidays is how they help reinforce the emotional attachment that many of us have to Euro-American culture, that we have to white folks. Black folks love white folks. We'll forgive white folks in a minute for things we will kill each other about in a second. We look for reasons to forgive white folks. And they made us that way on the plantation. They hooked us up because they projected themselves to us as God. And somewhere there's got to be some good in them. And we'll put more energy into trying to find that good for which we have no historical basis whatsoever. And won't last a minute when it comes to working with black folks to get them on their feet and get them out of their insanity. I just can't deal with it no more. Niggas just get on my nerves. But you'll take a beating, you'll go to jail, you'll bleed, you'll do anything to try to get your white man to act like what he cannot act like. He can't do it. Look at the history of Europe. He couldn't do it with himself. How's he going to do it with the people he fears more than any other people on the planet Earth? Think about that. So it binds you to Euro-Americans and their institutions, which does not work in our best interest. Now, maybe you can tell me something different, and I'll be willing to listen. But is anything that white people have created that works for us, that's good for us? Can you name me anything?
Yes, sir.
Even this so-called educational system is designed to make us Oreo white folks. So, I mean, what is it that they have that's so... I want you to tell me. I've been in this world 58 years. And I want to know, what is it that they have that we just got to have? And I mean, pay the price that we pay for having it. Let them continue to run the world. The ugliest, stupidest, most backward people on the planet run the planet because the people to whom the planet was given has let them take the power and run it. And go along every day as though this is normal. This is natural. And go to church and call on God. God can't hear you because you ain't doing what you're supposed to do. The Creator gave you a planet. You blew it. You fumbled the ball. Now you're not doing what you were put here to do, which is run the planet in righteousness according to the principles of my act and the principles that were given to you from the foundation of the world. And you think by hollering and shouting you get God's attention? You'll get the Creator's attention when you stand up like a man and like a woman. Confront this issue. Take on your enemy and know that it's when the Creator is with you, no weapon that is formed against you can prosper. You claim to have all this belief, but you really worship in the white man, not God. That's who you worship. You'll do anything a white man tell you to do. Anything. You'll be on your job knowing something you ain't supposed to do that is immoral and wrong, but you'll do it because he told you to do it because he holds your stomach in his hands.
Check.
I ain't mean to go there, but I got to go with the spiritual. Four, European holidays were created for Europeans, not for African people. It was created for white folks. They did not create these holidays for you. They later on found out we can make a lot of money off these stupid niggas if we let them celebrate. It's that simple. It was created for their needs, not our needs. So in celebrating them, you are not serving your own needs. You should know that by now, because by the middle of January, you're behind this crying and figure out where you're going to break, scrape, steal, and borrow to get this money from to pay for some stuff that you don't even know why you bought. And I don't understand this thing. Why I got to give you a gift because you gave me a gift? If you were sincere about giving me the gift, I ain't gonna give you nothing.
give you a gift after, and what's this thing they call it? I'm trying to get into this, man, but it's taking me a while. Y'all help me now. Y'all pray with me. I don't care what name you pray in, just pray with me. What's this thing called Black Friday? Right after Misgiving Day.
Yeah.
They got you so psyched up.
Yeah.
You can't even go. My wife went to go to the mall to get what? You go to get something, stockings or something. She couldn't get in nowhere. Black folks got this. They got to give these white folks this money.
The next day.
The next day. Great. With the ticket still hanging down. Still in the ticket. But they are there, fighting each other and stuff. It's like, I remember as a child, man, it was like a throwdown time with people. And some of them bust each other in the head to get money so they could go in there and give it to this white man so that they can please Jesus. This is so confusing. This is so sick. This is insane. Say, well, everybody's doing it, then we're living in a massive, humongous sanitarium.
Right.
In a nut house. One big nut house. And if you were put in a sanitarium in the Bible, if you were put in a house where people were insane, would you and knew you didn't belong there, would you say, well, everybody else in here is doing this? There's somebody hanging out the ceiling. There's somebody busting his head against the wall. There's somebody standing on his head on the chair. So, well, everybody else doing something crazy. Let me do something crazy, too.
Yeah.
That's what you say when you say you got to do these holidays. Everybody else doing it. And then the really the one, and I am letting you off the hook on that. We do it for the children.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk about the children.
We're going to get there. If I miss it, you help me get back to it, all right? Five, most of these European holidays were predicated on their fears. Halloween is the fear of the devil and their dead ancestors. I'm going to talk about that as I go on. Columbus Day, they were fearing the end of the world, so they were going around the world trying to conquer everything and everybody and get everything they could before the end of the world came. That was the state of the mind that these folk took with them. That's why they were so cruel and mean to everybody. Misgiving Day, they were afraid of starving themselves to death. And the red man made a big mistake. We'll talk about that in a minute. Stop calling them people Indians. That's an insult. They are not. The indigenous red man, our red brother here. And Xmas was for fear of the devil and the imps getting them on Christmas Eve night. I hope we get a chance to talk about that. But it's on the table. And Easter was the fear of sin and its punishment by eternal damnation. And the 4th of July was the fear of the loss of control of their black slaves in the slave trade. Now let's move on. Y'all ready?
Yes, sir.
Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
Now I might have to do a little reading here just to keep myself in line and not get off track.
Do what you got.
Let's deal with the first one now, which is Columbus Day, an orgy of death and destruction. First of all, let me tell you that this man, this Jew from Genoa, Cristobal Colon, was a criminal. Let's get that established. A criminal. That's what he was. He carried the original crime gene to this country with him. He's one of the most despicable characters that have ever lived on the face of this earth, and he opened the way for the transatlantic slave trade. What the hell am I going to celebrate him for? Why am I going to teach my children to celebrate him? He should not be viewed as a hero by our children. And you walk up in the school, any of these schools that be teaching your children this, that you have to pay your taxes for the support of that school. I think you have to do that in Maryland like you do in Pennsylvania and everywhere else. Even if you don't have children in school, you still got to pay taxes to the school. Then you're working for me because you're taking my money before I see my money. So this is what you teach my children, and this is what you don't teach my children, especially in a predominantly African community. I don't want no Christopher Columbus being taught to my children as a hero. But if it's in the textbook, then you need to get another one. I offer you Dr. Ivan Van Cerner. I offer you a host of other scholars whose work is far more credible. But you are not going to teach this to my child, and my child is not going to celebrate any Columbus Day. And you go up to school on the first day when the school opens to get that stuff set up. Y'all scared of the school, ain't you?
No.
You're not. You must remember, they work for you. Now say this to yourself. They work for me.
They work for me.
They work for me.
They work for me.
I'm the boss.
I'm the boss.
So I tell them what I want my children to know and not. That's what you are as the parent. Oh, they'll try to resist you. The school, boy, the school. We have to book your butt in there. So we the boss. You take our money to pay for this, we the boss. My child does not salute the American flag. Huh? And they were making children who didn't salute the American flag stand outside of the classroom. I say, you do that one more time, I'm going to be a wealthy man. I'm taking your butt to court, and I'm suing the hell out you. Because you are working against their amendment, whatever amendment right that is, they have the right to make the choice here. And do you make Jews in this class salute a swastika? Woo! So how you gonna make me salute a flag that represents a country that enslaved and murdered my people? And it was legal to do it for hundreds of years here. For almost 200 years it was legal to do it. Even after they banished it, it was still legal in the South and other places to heap this horror on us, and they can still find ways to do it. So I'm going to salute something that represents my destruction. Y'all still with me? Y'all ain't ready to throw me out of here yet? Let me see if I can show my behind some more. In spite of this fact, the textbooks in this country, in spite of the fact that Christopher Colon is a criminal, portray this criminal as an honorable man, and they emulate his holiday annually on October the 12th, or the nearest Monday now. They've started doing that, which shows that actually money is more important to them than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Europeans didn't feel that strongly about Christopher Colon. They didn't really start celebrating it as a holiday until 300 years after the fact, in October of 1792. Is when it happened. But 500 years ago, this invasion on the Western Paradise, as we call it, because it was not called America and should not be called America, that was an invasion. It wasn't a discovery. It was a criminal invasion on a people, because ever since they landed, the people had been subject to destruction. And you know what happened to us after they got rid of them. You still here?
Yes.
In 1492, we mentioned, Christopher Colon opened the transatlantic slave trade. He had been in the slave trading business since he was 14 years old. The first voyage he made along the west coast of Mother Akebu land, this now meant Africa, was to get slaves to take back to Spain and Portugal to sell them, to get captives, because we were not slaves, we were captives. So he started his career at the tender age of 14 doing this. So this was a regular way of life for him, this man that you celebrate on Columbus Day. And he took 10 Taino, or noble, indigenous people here and forcibly took them back with him on his return voyage to Spain. This was the first, quote-unquote, slaves he took from this country. Then Admiral Cristobal Colon instituted a reign of terror as governor of the island of Hispaniola, became the first South American dictator. It was Christopher Colon. I want you to remember him that way. In 1493, in response to the fact that most of the 1,500 indigenous people he had hunted down and rounded up and sent to Spain to be sold as chattel slavery in the marketplace, they died on the way, thus making his voyage unprofitable. And so he wrote to the King and Queen of Spain. He said, let us, this is in the diary of Christopher Colon, he said, let us in the name of the Holy Trinity go on sending all of the slaves. This is in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's written, he wrote it. Let us go on sending all the slaves that can be sold. Then he added, they are so timid and nice. With 50 men, we could subjugate them all, reduce them to servitude, and make them do whatever we want them to do. In my book, African People and European Holidays, A Mental Genocide, book page 32, I'll quote him here. He says, I've traveled many places in the world. I've seen many people in many conditions. He says, but these people here are so tractable, so peaceful are these people that I swear to your majesties, there is not in the world a better nation. They love their neighbors as themselves. So what did they need with his idea of God? They were already living that. So what did they need with it? They love their neighbors as themselves, and their discourse is ever sweet and gentle and accompanied with a smile. And though it is true that they are naked, that is Europeans, for anybody that didn't cover their head from head to toe was naked, because they had a problem with their body, and when you look at it, you can understand why. And Dr. Welsing goes very heavy into that, as to why, in the ISIS papers. The one thing that they envy you of is your color, and then turn around and made you think you ugly while they still out there risking skin cancer trying to look like you. This is insanity, believe me. And you make trying to make yourself bleach it off, fry it out, whatever. Let me get to look as white as I can. Let me leave that alone, because sisters be don't ram me out of here. Some brothers too. Jerry curls and things, but I love you anyhow. We got to talk straight though. We ain't fooling around no more. We ain't fooling around. If you don't want to do this, go ahead. Keep your head up that white man's behind. Perish with him, but I want these babies to survive.
Sure.
And to be victorious. I know a lot of y'all, there ain't no sense in talking to you no more. But that's all right. That's all right. I'm going to come out of this victorious. Dead or alive, I'm going to be victorious. I can't take it no more. It doesn't, this cannot go on any longer. You see it about to fall apart all around you. And you keep following up behind this sucker. Blind leading the blind. They love their neighbors as themselves, and their discourse is ever sweet and gentle and accompanied with a smile. And though it is true they are naked, yet their manners are decorous and praiseworthy. And then he goes on to recommend that these friendly and hospitable people be made to work and sow and do all that is necessary to adopt our ways. White folks ain't happy unless they making folks do what they want them to do. That's not a man. Stop calling him the man. Stop calling him the man. You the man. You the man, brother man. You the woman, sister lady. Stop calling him the man and her Miss Ann. They're children. An unruly child wants to make everybody do its will. An adult doesn't act that way. So you're dealing with a child and calling it a man. No wonder you can't come out of the childhood stage. No wonder you're still laughing and singing and you gay popping and playing it all the time. In that same year, Columbus also escalated the payment of heavy taxes and imposed upon every man, woman, and child over 14 years of age. He issued an ultimatum compelling them to bring him 1 ounce of gold dust every 3 months or to have their hands chopped off. Upon witnessing this horrific punishment, a lot of the people said, hey, I can't get no ounce of gold every 3 months. And I've seen my neighbors who couldn't get their hands chopped off. I'm skying up. I'm splitting. I'm getting on up out of here. So they went up in the mountains, and what did they do? Columbus took troops with Irish wolfhounds, and one of the things that sold in the marketplace of the settlement of Isabella on the island of Hispaniola for a high price was the flesh of the indigenous red man, and it was sold as food for the dogs, so that the dogs would get an appetite for human flesh. And they took those dogs up in those hills and they hunted those people down.
those who were not fortunate enough to get away, they would split their stomach open with Toledo steel blades, chop them up, and feed them to the dogs. These people ain't had nothing to celebrate about his coming. Nothing at all. And neither do you and I. First of all, I don't want to be identified with that, because the one thing that life will teach you, if you don't learn anything else, that the law of karma is an immutable law. And what does our people say? What goes around, comes around. White man gonna get his. I don't want to be identified with that. I want the Lord to be able to clearly distinguish. I ain't had nothing to do with it. I ain't in that. What me, Lord? I was a victim. My ancestors were victims. Also, during that same year, Columbus went to surrounding villages demanding that the chiefs turn over the young women and the young boys to become sex slaves for his crew. I want you to think about that. I want you to understand. I may not get to it all tonight, but I'm going to share with you. You're talking about a people who had been on a ship, and these ships were floating cesspools. There was feces and urine all over the ship. There was maggots and flies all over the ship. They hadn't washed in over, it took 60 days to make the trip. They had lice all on them. They had all kind of diseases, and here they were jumping in somebody's womb. That had to be horrible. People of color around the world were known for their bathing, especially African people. They were the cleanest people on this earth. That must have been a horrible thing to have this nasty, slimy, nothing creature up on top of you. And that's the one thing they wanted to do. Jump on somebody's woman. I don't understand no black woman ever going with a white man or black man ever going with a white woman. No, Colin, shut up. You don't know nothing about love. Because you first got to love yourself before you can love anybody else. And if you love yourself, you are not going to go with the descendant of your enemy. You're not going to do that. Plus, you break down your own energy power within you. Being black is not just skin deep. Shut up, you dumb Negroes. Color is only skin deep. You don't know nothing about science. You don't know the science of melanin. Why we are this color and they are not. And that all they can do is take energy from your cosmic battery and not give it. So you wonder why when you get hooked up with them, you get cancer and all kind of other stuff. I'm talking science here. But I'm going to leave that alone a minute. By 1494, because of being forced, what kind of?
Forced.
Sexual activity. Didn't nobody want these white folks? They stunk. In your movies, they have you thinking that all these women of color around the world want to be with the romantic white man. No, they didn't. They forced themselves on people. Nobody want to be bothered with that. If you don't think so, get on the bus with a bunch of them when it's raining. You know what I'm talking about? Am I just being mean?
Now, I don't know about you, but it's got to be smell good for me to, you know.
If the smell turns you on, you need to visit one of our African centers, behavioral scientists, and let them work with your head for a little bit. Maybe you need your olfactory glands operated on or something. Because of this enforced sexual activity by the Europeans, syphilis spread like wildfire. They said, well, when we got here, the Indians already had syphilis. But what bothered them even if they had it? It didn't bother them, even if it was here, but there's no proof for that. But once your nasty behind got here, it became a problem. And I keep people saying, it was nasty. They still nasty if you ain't cleaning their house. And those of you who have to go up in their house, clean them, know how nasty they are.
That's right.
Ask your grandmother who had to go out there and clean their house and wash their clothes and all that stuff just to keep food on table. She'll tell you how nasty they are. I ain't got time to play with this. Well, you know, there's some good white folks. So what? It doesn't change my condition. If you that good, I got the answer for you to prove it. Manifest it. Don't tell me about it. Show me that you love me. Do what Jerusalem Slim said do. Y'all know who Jerusalem Slim is. I know you know that. Jerusalem Slim said, go sell all that you have. Did he say it? That's what the preacher said. And it's in the New Testament gospel. Go sell everything you got. Didn't leave nothing. Everything. And give it to the poor. And then you can get into the kingdom. You can't say, shit, I ain't gonna do that. That's so easy. My French. I say this to white folks. You love me? Good, show me. Sell everything you got. And give me what belonged to me, because you wouldn't have drawers on your behind if it wasn't what was taken from my hand. Get my reparations. Get my money. Be a man. Pay your bill. You always telling me I ain't no man because I don't pay my phone bill or something. Pay your bill and I can pay mine. Biggest bill that's ever been created. Give me my 40 acres and a mule, which is about $300,000. You ain't never got to worry about Shaka Musa no more, but I'm going to turn that money over. I know, but I might let him slide for that, because I can take that $300,000 and I can whack it. Because I know some brilliant brothers. All they need is some money. And they can work it. I take it to a good African nation. There's a few that ain't controlled by those Europeans. And I'll work that money. I'll be a billionaire in a couple of years. And I'll come back with an army that's the most man, I'm telling you. The infliction of Columbus' arrival on these people was so devastating that they began to jump off the mountain to commit suicide. These women were saying, before I let that stinking nasty thing get in me, I'll die. They were jumping off the sides of mountains like they did at Palmares in Brazil. After having 60-some years of freedom in an independent nation, the Portuguese, because white man can't stand for black folks to be free. He can't stand it. So why you think he's going to give you freedom? He can't deal with you being free. And he kept going after those people, and when he did finally conquer those people, they said, oh, he did finally defeat them in battle. They said, you are not going to put us back in slavery. We've been free for 60 years. Kiss my behind. Jumped off the side of the mountain. That's how strong freedom was to them. So that's what the red man did. A lot of them committed suicide. It was an estimated 125,000 of them who did this were either killed or committed suicide during Columbus' two-year governorship on the island of Hispaniola in 2 years. I'm trying to tell you what kind of people you were dealing with here. And I've asked the question over and over again, and I'll continue to ask it. Will you please tell me what did white people bring to anybody in this world that they needed? They brought Jesus. We had Jesus. All the ancient images that the Pope bowed down to was Jesus in Africa. And his mom, where's Jesus? There is a Prince of Jesus. And that was too high a price to pay for Jesus. Or anything else. And I ask the other question. I will continue to ask the question. And I welcome somebody to stand up and set me right if I'm wrong. Can you tell me anywhere on this earth that white people have ever gone that they haven't brought destruction to the indigenous people who lived there? So this ain't got nothing to do with racism. This ain't got nothing to do with hatred. This has to do with historical reality. Now, how the hell am I going to trust somebody who has conducted themselves that way?
But there were some good ones. They couldn't stop the bad ones. So what good were they? What good are they? Oh, I'll work with them to help them fight their own. Go ahead, yeah. Help me fight for my brother-in-law Mumia's life. Yeah, you, and I ain't going to be so thankful to you because you do what you're supposed to do. You're trying to get yourself right with God because your people messed up. And what does the Bible say? You know it. Until the third and fourth generation, you're responsible for that sin. Doesn't it say that? So they still respond, and they will stand up and tell you, well, I didn't do it. My ancestors do it. How much money you got in your pocket, sucker? You own a house? Give me the deed to it. Give me your car. Because right now you're telling a bare-faced lie, and I want you to be able to tell the truth. I want to make a good person out of you. Give me everything you got, and then you can say you didn't do it. The cruel policies initiated by Christopher Colon and carried forth by a succession of explorer bandits. They were exploiters, not explorers. They were bandits. They were criminals. Every one of them, Cortez, Pizarro, all of them committed crimes and genocide against people when they came here. The Aztec people in Mexico had books and volumes upon volumes of knowledge, very similar to the knowledge from the Nile Valley in Africa. The white man say this ain't God knowledge and burnt the books up. He went to Arthur Walker, the great emperor, and was reading from the book, the holy book of the Catholic Church, the prayers, and the man said, this don't mean nothing to me. What you saying? He got mad with him, unless you accept this book and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're a demon, you're going to hell. And they ordered the man to be executed. Man, if you got God, you ain't got to kill me. They introduced me to God. Islam too. Except Islam will die. Why you got to kill me? They introduced me to God. Anybody that comes to us with that, they ain't talking about no God, they talking about themselves. They're talking about their own ego. Y'all still there? Within 25 years, the conquistadors and all the others had committed such a total genocide against the indigenous inhabitants in the Caribbean islands, red and the black people that were there when Christopher Colon arrived, that they had become extinct in the islands within 25 years. 25. This is what you celebrate when you celebrate Columbus Day. When they first arrived, there was over 125 million people here. Now there are a few million, maybe. One time it was down to what, about 600,000 or 700,000. So you know they didn't have nothing to celebrate about it. And I ask you, what do we have to celebrate in? Now let's see if we can deal with here for a while. I don't know how much time I got left, y'all, but like I tell you, I got to move with the spirit. Trying to stay with my notes and be disciplined. Halloween, the original night of the living dead. You want to talk about that or you want to move on? You sure now? You just being nice. Okay. Halloween means All Holy Evening, or as you say, Holy Sun Evening. And the sun was very important to them up there in Europe. It didn't get much at the time. It was the eve of All Saints Day, November the 1st, and it was October the 31st, was the Druidic New Year. There was a group called the Druids who was supposed to be practicing the knowledge that came out of the Nile Valley in ancient Kemet, which they would now misnomer in Egypt, but anything that the white man gets his hands on, he has a way of demonizing it or turning it around. We never see things the same way. And you wonder why you can go in a meeting with white folks, sit down, use the same language, and come out with a different idea of what occurred. Because you don't see things the same way. You don't feel things the same way. But you come out with tears in your eyes. Well, yes, they did commit some crimes against us, and they did shoot the young man in the back of the head, but we talked with the governor about it. We talked with the mayor about it, and we believe that something will be done, because they said that they believed in peace and justice too, and we said we believed in peace and justice. And that's all they had. And we stand out there crying about it. Because we believe in that stuff. It's our nature. Peace and justice don't mean the same thing to him. Peace means as long as you do it my way. Justice means just us. That's what it means. I have to keep checking on you that you're all right, because I have been put out of places. On this, the Druidic New Year, you got my back, Brother Eli.
We got your back, bro.
They said that at this time, the earth would open up, and the dead and demons would come out of the earth. This is how their New Year went. You got to understand the psyche of these people. I study European history very carefully. I know who I'm talking about. I ain't trying to get along with these people, because I know what I'm dealing with. I know their history. And I know even when they try to do right, they can't. So I ain't getting caught up in that trap. On the outside chance that the ones that are trying to do right may do right. I can't take that risk. There's too much at stake. I'll work with you if I can. Treat you like a human being as long as you treat me. I don't want to eat with you. I don't want to party with you, and I damn sure don't want your woman.
Yeah.
And you better not be looking cross-eyed at mine. In ancient Britain and Ireland, this Celtic New Year was called Samhain, S-A-M-B-A-I-N. At the end of summer, they would have these huge bonfires on the hilltops to frighten away evil spirits. These people lived in fear. One of the things you have to understand about Caucasian thinking, about Eurocentric thinking, is that its primary motivation, let's get into a little behavioral science here now, its primary motivation is fear. Read your Bible. What does it say?
Fear God.
Why would I fear my Creator? The cat that wrote that, that mistranslated the book, put it in the context of his own worldview, which was fear. A God-fearing man. What kind of fool are you? If you fear anything, I don't want to bother with you, because we get in a crisis, you're going to come up short. It was believed that on this sinister and eerie night, ghosts, witches, goblins, black cats, fairies, demons of hell roamed about the land, and the souls of the dead revisited their homes. Now, you know, we always, our brother did, pour a libation before we have any type of gathering and invite our ancestors to be with us, don't we?
Right.
We want our ancestors with us. We're not afraid of our folks who have passed on and crossed over, because Africans in their right mind don't know nothing about no death. We don't experience death.
Yes,
we have the last rite of passage, the transition from one level of, white folks may die, because I mean, their energy ain't plugged into nothing. It's not a part of the original energy that was here on the earth for millions of years. It's a strange energy that rose out of a catastrophic happening on earth. The last glacial period, the last ice age, this strange creatures come up. So he might fear death. I wouldn't blame him. I wouldn't be sure of my stuff either. But we ain't like that. Well, we shouldn't be. Yes, we're sad when they pass on, because you miss them, and we know how to grieve just like we know how to rejoice. But we welcome them. Europeans did not want their ancestors to come back to their house. So on the 31st, when the ground opened up and the dead came out, people got to putting on masks and costumes because they were trying to be something else. They didn't want their dead ancestors to recognize them. They put jack-o'-lanterns out there to frighten them away and goggles on their church. I thought Jesus could keep the evil spirit away. But no, they put goggles on the church
to keep the evil. And y'all out here, find some of these churches, white folks have with golf balls on them, and wonder why you're having all these negative things happening around you. You know, bought up in some witchcraft and stuff. And so, when the ancestors, the dead, would come back to them, they would tell them, give me something to eat, or I'll burn your house down, or I'll do you harm. And that's where trick-or-treat came from. And here you got your babies out here begging somebody for candy and telling them trick or treat. Don't know why you're doing this dumb stuff. Teaching them to be beggars. Something you can go buy for them. And what right do they have to tell a person, if you don't give me something, I'm going to do something bad to your property or to you? What right do they have to do? And it's gotten so bad, you know it's dangerous, fool, that you go out with them now. But you got to do it. I'm asking you why. Why do you have to do it? Ask yourself, why do you have to do it? That's more money you got to put out on these different costumes and things. Well, we're going to make it black. Somebody can go out dressed as Malcolm. Man, Malcolm is a serious man. I'm going to be bothered with that bullshit. And in Europe, it was the one day out of the year that the people consulted Satan for advice.
Right.
There was no distinguishing between Satan and God and Jesus. None of that stuff is clear as you think it is now. With these white, born-again preachers now, they seem to have some clear definition. They didn't have that in Europe. It was all, they feared the devil and God and all of it. What they feared was the aristocracy. Okay, let me tell you where I got that from, since you don't want to listen to me. White folks wrote this in the Encyclopedia Britannica, published in 1990, volume 5, page 646.
Check.
Because, you know, I know you take the white man's word. During the 16th, as late as the 16th century, on this night, people would gather in church graveyards, dig up graves, put the skulls around in a circle, and dance around them, trying to keep the evil spirits and the living dead from coming after them. This is in the church graveyard now. Where'd I get that from? Another white man. Dr. Basil Davidson. In the book African Empires, published by Time Life Books. Now, Halloween celebrations were introduced in the United States in the late 1800s by Irish immigrants and hooligans who put their accentuation on trick-or-treat vandalism. That's weird, because it got nothing to do with you. It got nothing to do with you. And you got nothing to do with it. Take that money and invest it in something, will you please, since you don't know what to do with your money. If you took all this money you spent at Xmas time and on these holidays and invested it in just a CD, you'd be better off. But if you invested it in your community and building up your community, if groups got together and invested it in their communities and in the business in your community, you'd be like, I might lose my money. You done lost it when you done gave it to these white folks.
Right, right.
You ain't gonna see it no more. And these Koreans, they ain't gonna give it back to you. Can you give me a job? No, nigga, we downsizing. The gnomes, elves, brownies, and fairies of European mythology were actually the Skrallings. That's S-K-R-A-L-I-N-G-S of Scandinavia. That's what they were called. They were wise and technically advanced Twa people from Africa who lived in many parts of ancient Europe. Don Luke, early African presence in early Europe, page 222, where we get that from. The Europeans had such a dread and fear of this little black man's superior knowledge that he caused them to be regarded as magical and mystical beings. Just let me finish on Halloween. I'll get to the others, all right? Just briefly touch on that. What is the black cat that y'all be about to break your neck? I've seen people hurt themselves. Running from something that is actually a part of your culture. What does the black cat represent? It is the symbol of the Kemetan,
on Nile Valley, misnomered Egyptian, female cat-headed deity called Bastetti, or Obasti. And she was the guardian angel of the hearth and home and a symbol of good luck, not bad luck. What did I write in book two of African People and European Holidays and Genocide? The irreconcilable, the Barashango theory of irreconcilable opposites. What is good for them is bad for us. What is good for us is bad for them. So you have no meeting ground.
Check.
Everything that they have ever encountered of ours, they have taken it and turned it to something evil and demonized. This black cat was also associated with the Nubian lioness war goddess Sakhmet, whom they call the Sphinx, who was held in great affection by the general populace of the Nile Valley because she was said to guard the interest to their holy land in the ancient world. Adoration of this original African deity was probably brought to the British by the Roman legions, who were very in love with the place they conquered. They conquered it militarily. It conquered them psychically. They called it Egypt. It was ancient Kemet. And then it was incorporated into Druidic mythology. I don't have time to really go into background on the Druids. I do cover it in the book, some of it in African People and European Holidays, A Mental Genocide, Book 1 and Book 2. The black cat was a favorite house pet of Druid priestesses, and that's how it became a symbol of evil and bad luck, because they were in direct competition with European Christian mythology. And I want to put emphasis on the word Christian mythology, because what Europeans taught us about Jesus has nothing to do with historical reality. It is mythological. And you is believing in mythological stuff and talking about all this good is doing for you and building all these churches in your communities, and the community continues to go down. Where is the power of it? That's all I'm asking you. I'm not picking on your religion, your belief system. Where is the power in it? If it's all that bad and all as wonderful as you say it is, how come our communities remain in the same condition? Come these dumb behind chicken-licking, pork chop-eating preachers are leading the forefront of economic revival in our community instead of just going for themselves. And you love your preacher too. You want him to be the best dressed. My pimp. That's your pimp. He's pimping you just as much in there as a low-down, dirty Negro would be pimping a woman out on the street.
That's right.
But it's all right, because he's doing it in the name of Jesus. I know you don't like this, but you got to wake up.
Tell the truth, buddy.
Our children ain't hearing this no more.
That's right.
All the young people that left the church, you keep telling them stupid stuff that don't make sense to them. And when you're asking a question, when they ask you a question, you can't question God. Now you know that don't make sense to a child. You just told me God know everything. Now you tell me I can't ask him nothing. I better take you to Reverend Hoopenhouse. To Pastor Sweetman. Pastor, talk to my child. I think you got the devil in him. About Jesus. He hates me. He hates me.
Well, you see, young man.
And the young man will throw some questions on that preacher that boggle his mind.
Yeah.
Because these Negroes know a few Bible texts and then they become heavy in the word. Can quote a few texts and make you holler. Some of them even, I don't understand why somebody that could make himself very plain and clear to farmers, to fishermen, to the everyday populace in his day, Jesus ben Joseph, or Yusuf ben Yeshua is his correct name in Hebrew, ben Yusuf, could make himself so very plain to the people that you got to go to a seminary now to figure out what the hell he was talking about. And you have to expostulate on the text to make it plain. And y'all keep asking, make it plain, Reverend. Make it plain, because you always say the damn thing you say. now? Let's deal with the witches a minute. The witches is directly related to the fact that the wisest of all women in the world at one time were black women. Mm. The knowledge of astronomy, the knowledge of agriculture, the science of agriculture, the science of mathematics, all these sciences were brought into the world by African women. Read my book, African Woman, the Original Guardian Angel, and I document that, and I also have it on the tape out there, Black Woman, Queen Mother of the Universe. And white women who were taught by black women were wiser than white men. And in medieval Europe, white women were feared for their knowledge. It was also feared because they could do something that white men could not do, that white men really wanted to do. And that is they could have babies. And this is something that a white man has always wanted to do. That's why in England now they've come up with a way of interjecting the embryo up into the anus so that it will catch onto the side of the intestine and the man can have a baby. You white boys are something, man. Yeah, I mean, they're doing that in England. White man want to have a baby. Black man ain't never want to have one. Say, sister, we worship you for having it. We applaud you. The first idea of God on earth was Mother God, because anybody can go through this, got to be God.
That's right.
The white man say, I want it all. I want to do it. And since I don't have the power, then I will control you and the child. And buy and sell you at will. But that's another subject unto itself. And any woman that could outthink a white man was called a cunning woman or a witch, which most white women could at that time. King James I of England, the Bible man, the one responsible for your Bible, the unadulterated word of God, because I have to ask y'all when you come to me, do you believe in the Bible? Which one? The Bible. Which one? And then you bring it out, and I said, oh, you're talking about the King James version, the authorized version. If King James authorized it, who Bible is it? His or God's? The faggot who went with boys, girls, anything, north, south, east, and west.
That's right.
Whatever his pleasure was, preference young boys. Oh, read Will Durant's Story of Civilization. A white man will give you that background. Well, the Bible man was a witch-fearing fanatic. He was subject to a witch hunt, was subject to break out at any time in England. And when the pilgrims left there, when they were run out of there by James, what did they do when they got here? The witch burnings and sailors. Women who knew how to cure with herbs and all that kind of stuff, man, they was witches. You sisters run around here with all them herbs and what's that, golden seal and all that. They'd have burnt your butt up. They were obsessed with it. And then there was the legend that witches could turn themselves into black cats. We know what the black cat represents, right? And this came about because of the long association of cats with women. And the cats were associated with women, as were many animals, because they were generally the protectors of animals, because they were into agricultural science and not killing the animal. That's how that came about. Now, the witch's broomstick. I think this is one of the last things on Halloween. You still with me?
Yes, sir.
Am I holding you too long?
Okay.
Now, the broomstick is an indoor domestic implement for cleaning the house and has always been a symbol of woman because the house means mother. That's what the word house in the ancient Kemetic language means. Mother. Because the house was the extension of a woman's womb. That's why the first houses were built in the round, not in the square. White folks came up with the idea of square houses. We built round houses because it was an extension of heaven. And you know you don't want to get me started on that. And you know Dr. Bill was my teacher. And we know where heaven is. This brother must know where heaven is, too. That baby's swinging off of him.
I know where it is. Lord, I'm so glad. And I love to be born again. And I'm very spiritual about it. I come in a state of reverence and praise to worship at the throne of grace. And I love to pray a long time. Brother Kwame Ture said, you got to bring some to get some. You understand what I'm saying, brother? You dealing with the divine temple of the universe, so when you come, come ready to stay. I'm through with that now. It should be remembered that cleanliness and implements used for house cleaning were considered to be evil by medieval Europeans of the Middle Ages. They were evil. Wherein an African, if you came into their house and they felt that you brought a negative vibe, and now I know y'all, now I want you to raise your hand because I know y'all know about this, would throw salt around and sweep it out the door. How many know about that? I know you did. Europeans say, don't sweep the dirt out or you sweep up the good luck. Let me tell you where white folks have got that from. The Illustrated Encyclopedia of Mythology, Religion, and the Unknown. Volume 2, page 351. You can find it in the library. The tradition that associated smart women with witches and with flying broomsticks probably evolved from the fact that many female rites of passage ceremonies that had to be done in secret used brooms in their ritual dances. And that's where they got this thing about them flying around on brooms. Now, vampires and werewolves, I got to deal with this. I could ask fans about this. Ow! Herodotus, the father of writing for the first European to write European history, because he wasn't even the first to write European history. People have been writing history. What do you think those things are in those temples in the Nile Valley? That's history written on those columns. So people have been writing history thousands of years before Herodotus out of Greece came along and was allowed in the black man's land. So when they teach you that the Greeks started writing history, they did not. There is no Greek philosophy either. It is non-existent. But he says that the Scythians, who were the great progenitors of the European peoples, Caucasian European peoples, said that they were the youngest nation on earth. And when the Scythians went to war, according to that scholar Joel A. Rogers in his book From Superman to Man, they went to war buck naked in black capes. And the first person they felled in battle, they bit them in the neck and sucked blood out of them. And the Greeks went to battle with the helmet, a shield, and a black cape buck naked. I can't fight when I'm naked. In my young days when I was wild, be caught in some place where I had no business being, I couldn't fight till I got the mess whipped out of me trying to get my pants on. Then I could do for a while. But these white folks were fighting buck naked. And why? Because the first person they felled in battle, they committed a homosexual act with him. That was total conquest.
That was the goal.
So when we go to prison, we don't do that. Not conscious African people don't do that. You go to prison, you shut down. You get spiritual. You take control of yourself. Because the one doing it to the one is just as much as a faggot of the one they're doing it to. And how you get any pleasure out of that? Ain't nothing can replace a black woman. And now they have got to joking about it. Anything that you can joke about becomes acceptable to a society. And look how these Jews push it on those sitcoms. You got homophobia, something. No, I don't want no faggots around me. I don't want them around my children. If you want to do this stuff, go off on an island somewhere and do it to yourself. No, I do not accept it.
That's right.
We have a right to. You don't have a right to do it around me. I don't want to smell your doo-doo in the air, somebody and pull this thing out your butt.
But that's where the werewolf came from. And one of the old English words for mankind is werewolf. V-E-R-E-W-L-F. Because, you know, white folks had a thing with the dog now. That's why that name in German, Wolfgang, Wolf this and Wolf that, comes from the Vikings drinking beer and chanting, Wolf, Wolf, Wolf! The story of Remus and Romulus. They still have it sitting in Vatican City. A big iron cast statue of a she-wolf feeding her children. They suckling on her breast. They mama was a wolf. The word God is used in the Bible should never be used by black folks because it's the word dog spelled backwards, because one of the first deities that Anglo-Germans worshipped was a dog. Yep. I pinned the tail on the donkey.
It looks so cute. Put the blindfold on and pin the tail on the donkey.
Come on, I'll whip your behind. Where did that come from? There was a ritual that they would have on the Druidic New Year, on the night of Hallow's Eve, Halloween, the night of the living dead, to appease the demons that was coming up out of the earth, they would have a ritual where they brought out a goat that represented Satan. And new initiates to this goat and the worship of this goat as a sacrifice. They used to have human sacrifice, but they went from that to taking an initiate, blindfolding them, leading them to the goat, and they had to kiss the goat smack dab with a tongue kiss.
What?
A French kiss.
What?
Smack dab up in the anus. And that is what you are symbolizing when you have your babies walk around here pinning a tail on a damn donkey. So instead of doing that, they just modified it. Just pin the tail on the donkey, honey. Now, if this don't make you leave Halloween alone, certainly nothing I could say here tonight can do. I've done the best I can, Lord. It's all in there.
That's right, Lord.
Let's deal with Misgiving Day a minute. Just a couple more things and I am through. I'm going to read from the book African People and European Holidays and Mental Genocide, page 16. Also, it's on the tape. It says here that the early American whites were cruel. Connecticut whites massacred the Pequot Indians. I'm using their term now. Infants were torn from their mother's breast and hacked to pieces. The heads of the parents were chopped off and kicked about in the streets. Governor Bradford, who was a witness, said he wrote it was a fearful sight to see them frying in the fire, and streams of blood quenching the same, and terrible was the stench and the stink thereof, but the victory seemed a sweet sacrifice, and they gave praise thereof to God. This was the celebration of the second Thanksgiving celebration to take place in the In 1620, the red man saw this starving, ugly, nasty, stinking creature get off the Mayflower. Could not feed himself, he said, in the first few months, only five or six sane ones was left. Everybody went crazy of that 44 men and women and children that came up off that Mayflower. They were starving to death. The red man came and brought them food, a mistake.
Yeah.
A mistake!
Yeah.
I don't care how mean. Oh, that's so hateful. That's a mistake. And the next year when he celebrated his Thanksgiving, he chopped off their heads, snatched the babies off the mother's breast, chopped off their heads, and kicked them about in the square. And I do believe that's where it comes from. You gouging yourself with all that food on Misgiving Day, you gotta watch the game.
the football game.
I done messed up now. I done messed with the brothers' game. Not a brothers' game.
Get a game, man. Get that game.
I'm glad my woman loved me. I wouldn't have none.
All them games got to die, man. Kill them games.
And you niggas talk about them games like you own the team.
I'm
going to leave it alone.
Get them games, bro. All right, Dr.
Frank. And that's your whole conversation. That's why the world thinks you're children. When these white folks and Japanese come in and call you boy, don't get mad with them because that's what you act like. You're always talking about some damn game. You don't talk about nothing serious. You're not even talking about how to make some money. What about them Eagles? What about this death? What about Dallas? What about it, nigga? How much of it do you own? My team. Sit in the cold.
Crazy.
Freeze your get tickets. Stand in line. Sleep outside.
Something wrong with me.
Oh, you're taking the fun out of everything. If that's the way you gotta have fun, yeah, I'm gonna take it.
Take it.
Because if you can't find a better way than that to have fun, you don't need to have none. You need to be doing some serious thinking. Because you don't know what fun is. Because everything you do for fun is self-destructive. Including dope yourself up and drink yourself into a stupor. Stick your head in the toilet. I had a good time. Got my head and we'll brag about it. Got my head bad.
What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?
That's why I call it Misgiving Day, a celebration of horrors. My mama made the best peace be upon her. My mama made the best sweet potato pie there ever was. And I love the smell. I know, look, y'all, this is hard for me. I know. I love the smell. The turkey, and the dressing, and all that stuff. The scent wafting through the house, and the family's together. Everybody's happy. I want to be with my family and have all that just like anybody else. But I'm not going to do it on a day that is dedicated to the destruction of the red man and my enslavement. Catch me Friday, because y'all ain't going home no way until Saturday or Sunday. Well, the family's here then. They ain't going nowhere until Saturday. And I'll come and I'll eat with you and sing with you and have a good time. But I will fast that day. I am not gonna be eating and celebrating and getting all gorged up for something that was done to me.
Right.
Against me.
Check.
No, I ain't doing that. Well, what do you do then? And we think if you don't celebrate white folks how they then what you gonna do?
Yeah.
If we don't do what the white man told us to do, there just ain't nothing else to do. Just like when we tell you about the fantasies of Eurocentric Christianity, then what you gonna believe in? Believe in your creator. You telling me you got to believe in a lie to believe in something? I better get off of that now. I ain't gonna have no friends when this book comes out. I know.
You gonna have new friends.
I'm gonna have to go. We're gonna have to go to the mountain, baby. Let's talk for a moment about Xmas, the Merry Mess. First, I'm going to read what Frederick Douglass had to say about it, because it is not Jesus' birthday. It is not Jesus' birthday. They don't know when Jesus' birthday was. There were 16 different days that they drew blood over trying to figure out which was the right day, and the most powerful army at that time in the Mediterranean world, the Roman army, said it's going to be December the 25th, and anybody disagree with it, we're going to kick your butt with this sword. And so December 25th it was. Yeah, I can't even go into that now because there's a whole lot more science and stuff too. Saturnalia. The Roman celebration of their homosexual god, the Greek Dionysius, where they went and drank and had copulation with each other and went home and beat up their wives and took the stuff. Because that's the only way you could have children. They were trying to have it with each other, but it just wouldn't work. Eldon and
ancestor Frederick Douglass helped me out tonight. I'm not going to keep you much longer, but you know, we don't know how many more years we got to share this information with you, so we share with you. I know, y'all take too long. Y'all don't say that stuff when you be at one of them concerts and stuff. Man, I ain't getting anything. In a speech of 1882, Frederick Douglass relates his experiences as a slave during the Christmas season. This is what Brother Fred had to say. The days between Christmas Day and New Year's were allowed. Were what?
Allowed.
If you got to allow it for me, then it ain't mine. If you got to give it to me, then it didn't belong to me in the first place. Were allowed the slaves as holidays. During these days, all regular work was suspended, and there was nothing to do but keep fires and look after stock. We regarded this time as our own by the grace of our masters. By the what? That's how you got into Christmas. By the grace of your masters. And your masters determine how you celebrate it. Watch this. And we therefore used it, abused it as we pleased. The holidays were variously spent. The sober, industrious ones employed themselves in manufacturing corn, brooms, mats, horse collars, and baskets. And some of these were very well made. Another class spent their time in hunting possums, coons, rabbits, and other game. But the what? Spent the holidays in sports, ball playing, wrestling, boxing, running, foot races, dancing, and drinking whiskey. And the latter mode was generally most agreeable to their masters. Got to have it. Because you know you don't spend some money you ain't have. I remember when brothers used to quit sisters around Xmas time. Especially sisters that had children. Because men usually don't like to spend that money. You look at brothers when they walk around the store, they got this look on their face. I ain't got all this money to spend. And the women are chilling. That's because they geared it. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with women. I'm saying they geared to you and the children. They said they were going to do it and how to make a slave. William Lynch said, get the mind of the women, you got the mind of the children. And they take a black man and just disgrace him and beat him down in front of black women, and they'll think that he can't do nothing for them. And they'll have to come to us.
Check.
And black women think, and I'm speaking in generalities, but many of our women think that a black man ain't a man if he can't come up with this money on Christmas.
Yes.
How many brothers do I know in jail on armed robbery fees because they had to get some money for Christmas?
That's right. Because
if you don't come up with some money for Christmas, you don't get none. You know that, don't you? Sister, stop putting that pressure on him. Wouldn't you rather have that man home with you than sitting off in jail somewhere? I mean, a lot of armed robbery beasts were taken care of, and I've visited with a lot of brothers who have confessed that to me. They have done that. Hurt other black people again. You can't even go shopping now because people snatching your pocketbook and carrying on. Where's the Jesus in that? Where's the joy in it? You're just trying to fulfill a hypnotic, trans, a narcotic state of existence that an enemy has heaped on you. I don't care how much fun you say it is. There. And then, by the middle of the day, this stuff, that part of us laying in the floor all broke up, and you say, let's have some Christmas cheer, and then that evolves into the ritual of Christmas head whipping. I could never figure out why people would get in a fight on Christmas. I couldn't understand when I was a child. How many of y'all experienced that? It was such a happy day to me. But you sitting there, you done got high now, and that liquor done made him lose control. I done spent this damn money. I ain't gonna spend this money, and he go off. So a lot of brothers quit the sisters because they know New Year's Eve you can pick them up again because don't nobody want to be alone on New Year's Eve. So they're starting to pick a fight with you. 15 days left to Christmas. Oh, God, you're mopping them off on the calendar. 3 days left to Christmas. Oh, I've got to get out there. But they buy up everything. But here's the kicker. Here's the kicker. Some of y'all and women that don't have no men got to raise these children by themselves and take on 3 jobs around this time of the year. We'll buy this stuff and sneak it in the house.
Sneak it in the house. Wait till the child is upstairs asleep, and then you tipping around, pulling it out, putting the bites and the this and all that together. And when the child comes downstairs, the child don't say, look what my mama bought me. Look what my daddy bought me. Say, look what Santa Claus brought me. I'm trying to figure out what is a big, fat, white man doing getting the credit for something you did. The same as you build these churches with your blood, sweat, and tears and your chicken dinners, and put a picture of a blue-eyed, blind-haired, lamb-holding faggot up there and give him the credit for it. I tell you, it's a mental genocide. It's insane. And you know, in Alcoholics Anonymous, the first thing you have to do is stand up and say, what? I'm an alcoholic. First thing we got all of us, including the Shaka Musa Barachanga, I'm sick. I am mentally ill. Because ain't nobody passed through this that is not mentally ill. I just didn't learn how to turn my craziness on my enemy. But I tell you in a minute, I'm crazy. Nutty as a fruitcake. But I won't turn it on me or my people. I'll turn it on my enemies. When the white man said, that's a crazy nigga, that's a compliment to me. Because if I seem sane to him, something wrong with me. Because I fit into his definition of sanity. And that's insane. But then the other part is the trust that your children lose in you, and you wonder when they get to adolescence and teenage why they don't have any faith in you anymore. And one of the things is the most trusted people on earth, they find out lies to them. My mother, whom I love, peace be upon her, was one of the sweetest and most beautiful women I've ever met until the day I met my beloved wife. And that woman, I trusted her for everything. She was my grandmother. When my mother passed away when I was a year old, she took care of me. She washed white folks' dirty clothes. She cleaned their bathrooms. She did everything to make sure that I was fed and taken good care of. She was a wonderful woman indeed, and I loved her and trusted everything she said. And I was outside one time in Richard Allen City, Missnomet, Philadelphia, hanging on the corner. And I'm 13 years old, still talking about Santa Claus. They say, grow up. There ain't no Santa Claus. And I got in a fight with my Walkman. My homies, we got to throw it down. Cause I said, my mama wouldn't lie. There is a Santa Claus. So I got tired of getting my butt whipped. So I went home and asked the source. I said, mama, is there a Santa Claus? And she got the ring in her hand and going through all kind of anxiety. Do y'all know anything about this? All kind of anxiety and torture. And then she had to tell me there wasn't none. And then in my heart, I couldn't believe it. My mama had lied to me. That hurt me. It took me a while to get over that. But the thing is, I don't understand why she lied. Why? Why do we tell our children that the white man did something for them that he didn't do? Tell them that he can fit his big old fat funky butt down a chimney that many of us don't even have. Two more, I'm through. I don't have much further to go. I'm gonna deal with Easter, the festival of fools. Now you messing with now? You done gone too far, Shaka Musa. You messing with my Jesus? Now you trying to take my Jesus from? No, man. I'm trying to make him real for you. Trying to make him your Jesus. You got somebody else's Jesus. You don't have your Jesus. That white man Jesus. That ain't yours. That's not the Jesus of history.
But build national structures, and we have to reach out from those national structures and build one great Pan-African collective, the world over. One great people, a renewed and resurrected people. That's the black nationalist interpretation. Now, you don't have to accept it. You don't want it. But I can deal with that better than I can waiting to get into heaven while white boys enjoy their day. Yeah. Yeah. And it gives us another key to the plan that God has for this people today. Now, obviously, it was today because it wasn't completely fulfilled back then. Exodus, the 4th chapter, the 22nd verse. And it says, and the 23rd verse. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh. Now, we'll deal with this another time. This was an argument between two black men. Between the king of Egypt and a new leader of the people, Moses. They were two black men. There's a lot of questions as to whether the children of Israel were thrown out or they left on their own. But we're not going to go into that now. We're going to apply the principles in this text to our purposes tonight. Is that all right with you? All right. Now, whatever the different philosophies is fine. I like to listen to them all and draw what I can from each one of them. Dr. Ben always straightens that out real good for you. That's one of my mentions. We don't agree on everything. We get to religion, we'd be dead up into it. You know what I mean? And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, and I will paraphrase that, thou shalt say unto Reagan. Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Now you have to understand, this Israel is not the settler colony of Zion Israel that's over there today. Because when the brothers and sisters left here, we relate to the Hebrew doctrine and said we have returned home and showed them all the historical data, and they said that's true. You may have been the original one, but we empower that. So they know who they are. They're Europeans. They're not true Israelites and Hebrews. Yet, there's an affinity we have with that. We had it all the way through slavery time. We're always related to the plight of the children of Israel compared to that of our own. But the point I want to make clear here to you is that this nation, this black nation, Israel, is being referred to as the Son of God. And this now begins to clarify the mystery and the theological talking of what it means when it says Jesus is the Son of God.
Yes.
It's referring here to a nation. And when it was applied to Jesus, it was as the head of that nation, the rightful head of that nation. And he was crucified, not as the savior of the world, but over the cross, they wrote in Latin, Jesus, the King of the Jews. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. It was a political assassination. You must understand that. A political assassination. I'm not attacking anyone's faith. Understand me, please. But we can't just go on with what they taught us from the plantation until now. If you can draw strength from it, fine. Our people used what they had to draw strength from. I could never put down my mother. She used to walk through the house. Jesus, Lord, you've been my mother. You've been my father. You have helped me all the way through. And I saw the strength of that woman and how we lived through that poverty and were lifted up out of it.
Yeah.
So I couldn't put her down because I don't think exactly the same way she does on that. When she prayed to Jesus, I pray too. We're in harmony there. It's just a matter of approach. So I'm making clear to you that I'm not attacking you in any way. And we go over in another part of the text that says, let my people go. The point or the principle I'm seeking to stress here is that we must, according to the book of Revelation, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. Come out from among her, my people, and be out of my people. This is Babylon. There was ever a place of confusion in this place. And they go around confusing the rest of the world. People seem to know what they want to do until they get there. From the CIA and the FBI and everybody else. Then there's a state of confusion. We ought to come out from that confusion. We may not be able to make a complete physical exodus right now, but we got to make a spiritual exodus. We have to make a mental exodus. As we go about the business, you're going to eventually have to make a physical exodus, because when the Creator rains down his terror on these people for what they have done to us and the rest of the world, you don't want to be anywhere around them. And he's coming out to them. The book of Revelation just says in that day, Satan shall be loosed from his pit.
Yes,
and you shall see him in his raw nakedness. He's not even going to bother to smile and try to fool me no more. He's not even going to say we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. He's going to say, nigga, your time is up.
Condones our enslavement. That it was his will that we be brought over here.
eat our pigs' hearts with the animals. Our women may do all kinds of freakish acts with him at night. And our little boy is turning into homosexual because of his demonic desire. If you say this God that this is God's country, then look what you're putting on the Creator. Eat. You better watch what you say. You might be blaspheming. One of the reasons why it's so difficult for us to get out of this, to stop worshiping the white man and to start serving God, is because we're mostly attached to white folks. When we come to talk to you about something practical, let's say, well, let's do some stuff, let's build this, which is a coined phrase by the Honorable Marcus Garvey and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, do for self and kind. When these men came before you and said, let's do for self, you got into all kinds of abstract, emotional responses. As Malcolm said one time, you accused him of coming to teach you hate. He said, now, if after all the white men have done to you, you don't hate, certainly nothing we can say to you can make you.
Damage which has been done to our mind through deceptive imagery.
Down on the plantation, the white man came and he said, "Look, I have something for you." Pulled out this picture of this blonde, green hair. Whenever I had a beard, holding a lamb with his hand like this. He said, "Now this is the Son of God." Knowing the black folks are spirit people. And they being taken from the land without knowledge of self, them. This is the Son of God. Be as much like him as you can. And every problem you have, take it, lay it at his feet. That is why it's so difficult for black folks to solve their problems today. They always look for some liberal white man to come and solve their problems for. So they're looking for a white Jesus. When they saw Kennedy, they saw Jesus. When they saw Jimmy Carter, they saw Jesus. When he got in there, they realized that. Right on the spot for life. Now this is the imagery that was put before you. Adam, Eve, God, anybody that was somebody. So now here you grow up with the idea of I've got to take my problems to someone outside of myself. Anybody that's worth anything is a white man, not me. I'm not worth anything. So you grow up hating yourself. That's why you try to scar your face up, cover it up, do everything you can to make it. Do anything you can yourself. When you see a black person, you heard it up, knock him down. Because when you look in the mirror, you're reminded, "Boy, I've got this on me. This is the fact that I'm black. It's holding me back." You got the prettiest color in the world. It blows suntan lotion being sold all over the world to look like you. Old Derek walks around China spraying her hair, and you think she invented that. Trying to look like you when you stand up talking about this is the fact that I'm black and it's holding me back. No, brother, I know you heard this before, but you need to hear it again, because obviously you didn't carry out what you're supposed to carry out. Now, when you bring it up all out of slavery times, because see, even though they did that, you had good preachers like the prophets in that time. The Right Reverend Gabriel Prophet, Right Reverend Denmark Vesson, and the Reverend Mother Harriet Tubman. And a lot of others. See, they preached the gospel of black liberation. Reverend Mother Sojourner Truth. That was the real gospel. When the church was set up, that's what it was set up for by the black man. You have to understand that. We can't go all into that tonight. Check chapter 23 and God, the Bible, and the black man's destiny. When we get to Sunday school now, in modern times, they give me a Sunday school card when children come home from school, Sunday school, say, "What kind of life today?" Well, that's about Jesus, the Son of God, and he came to save the world. And they show you this little picture, this little Sunday school picture, and what you have. Blonde hair, blue eyes. Now, how is that child going to grow up with self-esteem? And you wonder why he has problems in the world. You wonder why there's gang wars amongst, why we can beat up on each other so much. Self-hatred is where it comes from. And that's not the only base of the problem, but that's where it starts. Of course, the problem is more complicated than that. I realize it. And we have to deal with it in all fields of discipline. But I'm talking about from this area now. That's where it started at. In your family Bible, it says. Here you have a church. And black folks, as the brother says in the book, Satan in the Pulpit.
That's right.
They have over $10 million and $1 billion industry.
That's right.
Build these big churches and put a white man up on the same glass business on the same glass. Don't even give themselves credit for building the church. When historically, we know that Jesus was a black man. Irrefutable. It's in the book, and I probably will talk about that some more. But here we're going to put a lie out there and say, that's what it did to the man. Movies. The greatest story ever told. Ten Commandments. Talk from heaven. You know what happened to him? He got to pray Moses, and he got into it so much when the director said cut, he couldn't get out of the road. He got locked in. They had to go get him out of the middle of the sunset. West Valley Boulevard, chasing the players up part of the Red Sea, almost had a truck. They say he was a psychiatrist. He couldn't get out of the road. But I guess some of you standing up there in the secret part of before you, you know, you don't realize you're in a fantasy. You're in a
right.
The white man made you believe in his fantasy, and as I saw that, I listened. And every text that they mentioned before they could finish it, black folks could finish it out.
Yeah.
And they were applying it to that white man. We know that Moses was a black man without a shadow of a doubt. The Bible said, put your hand in your bosom. When he took it out, his hand was white. He said, oh my God, big old man. You give the Lord some argument at first. I can't go down there. I can't rap. But I can't go down there. Just put your hand in your bosom. Put it in there. Took it out. You see that? So, yeah, you want to be like that all over the house? Turn on the TV around Easter, the Festival of Fools Day. All these pictures that you see, all white images. Then they had that white boy, Matt Van Sydow, play Jesus in one of them. That's an ugly. And he's playing. This was a tall, beautiful black dude. Beautiful brother to look upon. Now, how do you know that statue? All right, someone accept my word. Those of you who had money to travel, go to the British Museum. You get there. Here's the coin. Ask them, say, I want the coin of Justinian II. Take and show you the coin. And on one side of the coin, you see a man with long, stringy blonde hair. Obvious caucasoid features. On the other side of the coin, you'll see a man with cornrows and a broad nose, thick lips, and woolly beard. And underneath that name, underneath of the first side of the coin, European on it, it says Justinian II. Underneath the one on the other side, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Thank
you. Now, white folks knew that was minted about 700 or 800 of the Christian era. They know that, and will keep that away from you.
Yeah.
Don't take it from me. If you don't take a black man's word, white folks say the same thing. You're blind and right by me. You have to work it out. These images have destroyed our self-esteem and caused us to act in self-destructive manners. And as Brother Mountain once said, the worst crime that you can commit is to teach a man to hate himself. And no one has ever done that job as effectively as Europeans have done that.
That's right.
They have taught you to hate yourself. When a man hates himself, he's his own destroyer. He'll work with you, for you, against himself in his own kind. And I say that these things are rooted and grounded in the early images we receive and our miseducation in childhood. Now, I understand that the church was doing the best it could at that time, that our parents were doing the best they could at that time, but now we have moved on and received light. God blinked upon our ignorance, as the Bible said, in those days, but now we have come to the light, and we're expected to grow up now and to deal with that knowledge, wisdom, and understanding work with it. Just a few more points now, brothers and sisters. Now, if white people were really our friends like they say they are. Yeah, they do. As long as they said, look, we want separation and we were fighting for integration, they were defining the process. When Brother Kwame Ture, the slave named Stokely Carmichael, and others stood down in Lowell County, Mississippi, and made the fist and said, black power, we're going for ourselves. Then the white man comes back and says, wait a minute, hold it. You're being a racist in reverse. You don't want to separate from us. That's because he no longer defines it. He must always define your existence. That's why I've said to people, I will not allow a white man in when I'm celebrating Kwanzaa. That's mine. You got to tell you what I'm going to find with it. But what if you let him in there, next thing you know, he's going to have it and gone. Which he calls jazz.
Right.
Most of you in here, your children don't even know who Charlie Yardbird Parker was. Don't even know who John Coltrane was. Why, you don't want to sit still long enough to listen. You take all music you make.
Eat the fruit of them. They shall not build in another inhabitant.
time he hadn't worked from on high. Labor in vain. Shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. Many times your work efforts help to keep you in chains. When the slave has to mend the very shackles that they bound him with. Our taxes by the very bullets that they shoot at us with. Take care of the very cops that whip up on our heads. It says that they shall not bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. That's when we get it too.
Yeah.
In the harmony, what the ancients used to call the unmoved mover, the one, the Amon Ra. When you get in harmony with the one, before you speak, you won't have to be doing a whole lot of praying. You be walking with the Creator, walking with each other. Before you move, we be so in tune, you know what to do, where to go, how to turn. We work on it, that day will come, brothers and sisters. And the wolf and the lamb shall be together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains, says the Lord. Now when you understand the symbolism of this language, it says that peace will be established in the land. And I know you'd be glad to see that. You'd be talking about it all the time while others are doing war. And it's right, we should have peace. I don't want to fight these tyrants. I know, but I know how they are. They won't leave me alone. I'm not going to let them catch me on the back. I didn't raise my babies and give them independent black education, put that money out for those independent black schools for them to just be knocked off. No, I don't go there. No. Nobody wants violence. Brother Malcolm said, I don't want violence. I don't like violence. That's why I'm trying to keep them from being violent to me. Now, if they can go around the country and build up rifle clubs, study karate, build up survival camps and everything, what are you doing? How are you prepared to survive and defend yourself? I'm not telling you to go messing with nobody. What you're doing to defend yourself. But God's going to require that.